Hospitals and health organizations today face so many challenges, and many of those affect the bottom line. One presiding factor in all of this is how patients feel about their level of service. And that's why it's critical to talk about the patient experience. Michael, I am doing great, and it's so good to talk to you.
Great, thank you. So, John, talk to me a little bit about these 12 concepts that you've developed. Are these specific to a model that you have developed?
It actually is a model that I've developed, and it's actually myself. Yeah, I mean, I developed myself. And it is.
Okay. When did you develop these 12 concepts, John? And more importantly, when did you develop them?
Okay. You know, it was back in 2019. We can say pre-COVID, you might say now, of the COVID, as people call it around here. I take some time to evaluate my place in the race and my desire to finish strong. You see, my desire to finish strong, I am, let's put this quite boldly, I am going on Medicare next month. So that means my career is still going strong, and it's something I really thought I needed to do, just to take some time, reflect, and just see how things were and how I wanted to finish. But it was when, you know, I think back on a regret that I had. It's when I finished Appalachian State University with a degree in business, healthcare management, and actually marketing. My dad said to me at graduation, when we marched, he said, "If you go ahead and get your MBA, your master's in administration now, I'll pay for it, 100%.
Great.
Yeah, and I said, "But, Dad," I said, "I want to go to work. I want to go to work so bad." And he was very understanding of that. He just said, "I wanted to give you that opportunity." And it's kind of like back then, I'd say back then, how we used to do things. A BSBA, Bachelor of Science in Business Administration, was almost level to an MBA now. And I just wanted to go to work. I was so eager to go to work. And, you know, I thought I was head of the heap. That's what my grandmother used to say. I thought I was always head of the heap, so I had to go to work. And it's almost like, once I spent so many years in this career that I had got my master's degree, I had mastered my career, although not from an accredited university, but from what I had learned. And the 12 concepts came out of this. These are the 12 things that I mastered and learned. And I really, really thought it was important to pass it on to everybody else. So that's really what I'm doing, you know.
All right. When just for some context, John, when did you graduate from App State?
I graduated in 1978.
Okay, so you have a lot of real-world experience on top of the degree.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I worked all during college at a theme park, Tweetsie Railroad, for like 6 summers during my college career. Some of that time was even actually in high school. And I was able to start work when I was 15 at a theme park, Land of Oz, up on top of Beach Mountain. So many people will hear that and think, golly, that was a long time ago. And yeah, it was a long time ago. But I had always been taught the value of working. And it was so important then that I wanted to go to work so fast. You know, when I finished college, I was ready to go to work. And I was very fortunate. I was very blessed to become director of revenue cycle for a hospital in my hometown. And, you know, when I look back at the years I spent there, I spent actually 22 years at that hospital, are great years. And I found that the more I learned, and you know, the best thing about it was the people I met, whether it was colleagues, vendors, patients, their families. And one of the most important things that they wanted when I got that job, qualifications, was not necessarily that I had these years of experience, but that I was a local and I knew people in town. You know, you remember the days, Michael, that hospitals were community hospitals and they were the center of the community. So it was important to them that I was from there and I knew people in the area. So I started out that career in healthcare at an early age, you know.
Right. Yeah, you don't find that much more these days, you know, with the community hospitals, independents all being swallowed up by other larger systems. It's refreshing to still have those community hospitals where you feel like you are part of the community. You live in the community. You know everybody, which makes it very appealing to, yes, to employers.
Yes.
Would you mind sharing with me these concepts, John?
Sure, I'd be glad to. You know, Michael, I really realized I'd made a difference in the community when about 5 years ago, I got a call at home. And it was from a former patient. And he said, "Johnny, I need you to help me." That's what he called me. Everybody used to call me Johnny. He said, "Johnny, I need you to help me. I need you to set me up on $25 a month. I've been in the hospital." And I said, of course, because of HIPAA, I'm not going to give that man's name out. And he's passed away now. But I said, you know, I don't work at the hospital anymore. And he said, "Well, who does?" So I gave him a name. I said, "You call this person and I'm sure they'll take good care of you." So that was an honor that someone called me years later at home, you know, and that was okay to call me at home. You did that back then. You're part of the community.
Right. And that is a testament to your ability to be a part of that community to the extent that a patient would follow you and still have your cell phone number, I'm assuming.
Yes.
and be able to reach out to you.
Well,
and you've been able to provide them some direction on to get the resolution.
Yes, yes. Well, actually, it was a landline he called on. That's kind of funny, you know. And all I had to do is look in the phone book, and there was my number. So he called. And I still think back on that. And I think back of, you know, engaging with families and patients. You know, some people would come to that hospital to visit me to look, as they call it, look over their Medicare and see what's happened. And some would come and they would stop at the reception area and say, well, he just went to lunch. Let me help you. They say, nope, I'll sit down and wait. Well, he went out to eat with somebody today to a lunch meeting. It may be an hour. I'll wait. And sure enough, he was in my office when I got back. And I miss that part. I really miss that. You know, I miss that. I'm sorry I interjected this thought there. What are the concepts? Well, I call them 12 concepts because that's what they are. Number one being lead like a CEO that is unique to you. You know, lead from your heart and lead from your spirit. Never lead from your head and your agenda. And I've learned that the hard way sometimes. A colleague at Revco always asked me when I would talk about something, she said, John, is your agenda showing? And I still learn lessons from that colleague. John, is your agenda showing? So it's all from the heart. You know, I doubt I will be a CEO of a hospital. That was not my intention to be a CEO of a hospital, and I doubt I will be, but I can lead like a CEO. I have been around CEOs, as people say now, I've hung out with them, you know, but you got to lead in that manner that's specific to you. You know, I believe, and this is number two, always create an atmosphere with meaning and purpose. And I mean that a good atmosphere in everything you do toward every person you meet and you do business with. Bottom line, if you create a good atmosphere, people will follow. I always say number three is the best. Be the best while you can. Be the best you can while you still have the chance. And that's based on what my mother told me on her deathbed. It was very clear. Mom had issues with Alzheimer's, dementia, and unfortunately, during the nursing home, had a comeback of cancer she had had years ago, and it was not long. It was actually since that diagnosis that Mom died 2 weeks later, and she worked so hard on, you know, she was a mother that you couldn't. She was the best mother ever. And the day we got a call from the hospital, excuse me, the nursing facility, they said, you know, we think we are moving toward the end. And, you know, we've been visiting her every day, but the nurse said, you may want to come over and just... you just may want to see her and spend some time with her. So we immediately got ready, and we went into her room, and she recognized me and my wife both. She was lucid, and her, you know, that was Chuck. She called me by name, and she called my wife by name. And that was that was a real blessing. And she said, again, I say Johnny. That's what I was called when I was younger. She said, Johnny, come over here. I want to tell you something. Her voice was strong. She said, do what you know you got to do and do it right. And she quietly passed. And I hold on to that gift. I hold on to that for the rest of my life.
Absolutely. She's still providing.
Yes, yes. Giving advice.
Life lesson all the way to the end.
Yes, yes. And so I'll always remember that. And that, I guess, when you talk about what your core is, that's my core. It really is. That's the core that I operate from. You know, concept number four, stay away from the places that cause you to slip and fall. These are places that might feel comfortable, but they will quickly get you off track. And you know, these are the places that feel comfortable, but they actually get you off track. And personally, we really, really know what they are. We really do. Those are the things that happen that you allow to happen to you that get you totally off track and your mind on something else that it shouldn't be. That's it. It really is. And we all have those vices. If you don't, I want to hear your name and I want to interview you in the future. Number five, know the great seed that is in your hand. Give yourself time and space to discover those too. It'll bring you a lot more needed clarity as well as a whole lot of understanding. And you may need that understanding at some point in your life. Number six, when a defining moment comes your way, claim it. Now, I've heard people call it an aha moment, a moment that there is more clarity than you have ever had before. Spiritually, it may be a call. It may be something you feel very passionate about. But once you have that, this is a perfect time to sit down and make an action list. And I'm going to share something that I've got a whiteboard in my office. Guess what? It's still white. There's nothing on it. And something I'm hoping to move toward this week is to filling up that whiteboard about my visions, about what I think I need to do right now. So it will be a completely filled up whiteboard. And I'm proud of that. Michael, I promised to let you know and send you a picture of that whiteboard when I finish it, and you're going to hold me accountable for that. You got a deal?
I am. Yes, sir.
Our next one is experience a frame of mind change. Maybe a sabbatical. And a sabbatical can be one day, or it can be 2 weeks, or it can be two months. But I'm talking about a time that you can change your whole frame of mind. You know, I want to lead from the heart, And it requires just that. It may include reaching out and meeting people. And this is where you have your comeback. You're able to see things from a different perspective. The next one is kind of one of my favorite ones. Mary Kay Hunt. She's been a great teacher of me. A lot of her concepts and beliefs I hold to. And she says, be a catalyst for change. Well, Michael, I'm going to be a little honest with you. I don't like change. And it's kind of funny. I look back at my parents and my in-laws, and I said, they are so methodical. And my wife says, you're the same. We are the same. We're becoming our parents. So we always got to be open to change. You know, the people are facing challenges that we don't even know about. And we have to be able to change. Be a catalyst, not for change, but for healing. And next, I realize people are watching. And rather than feel self-conscious about this, Michael, I realize that people are watching. You know, I may be a pebble in the pond, but people are watching. And once that pebble hits the water, it's far-reaching where those ripples will go. So like I said, change is difficult, but we got to be a catalyst for it.
Change is one thing that I was told at a very early age, starting my career. The only constant is change, so get used to it.
Yeah. You know, even coming out of college, working was change. You know, I studied a lot, and I was real involved in student government association at App State, and that was such a pleasure. It was almost like I was working. I wanted my time filled up. So that brings me to another concept: have a place to go, quiet your mind, to go both physically and mentally. It could be a place to sit still. It even could be a public place. It could be a walk. Now, I'm here in the mountains of North Carolina. We got some beautiful walking trails. And they're so peaceful. And I've actually established that place. One is walking, and two is in my office. See, the good thing about my office is downstairs. So it's a man cave. It looks like a man cave. Not as much as it should probably look like a professional office, but, you know, I work out of here. I am we work from home, you know. And that even became more prevalent with COVID, but it still is a resting place for me, a good resting place.
Right.
So I've visited, you know, things that are a quiet place. My place of being still, I visit it often. And this is, to me, one of the most critical points for staying on a path of excellence. You know, I'm coming down to the end of these concepts. You got to ground yourself in the important things of everyday life. I think it's good often, and I say that often, to set aside the things that you don't need anymore. You know, ask yourself a question, what do I need to set aside? And at the same time, even ask yourself, what are the things I need to pick up? Matters that will add value. And I guess I'm saying it's time to clean up the clutter. And that's all it is clutter. It's not important anymore. And I think my last concept is...
I'm sorry, John. I was just going to add, you know, it's a great way to start the cleanse by setting aside clutter, things that distract you.
Yeah.
And picking back up things that have kind of got lost. Or you have forgotten about that really kind of is more meaningful to your life.
Yes, yes. And it's a healthy thing to do, too. It really is. You know, I'm one that doesn't want to be quiet or, let's say, inactive. I want to still make a difference. And then finally, to wrap up the whole 12, number 12, is to make a choice. To make excellence a way of life. Not something you just do every now and then, but every day you get up, is to make excellence your goal. It doesn't mean that you have to always accomplish. It means that you do it excellently. It becomes a part of your life. And, I had a friend one time say to me, he goes back to college, and very close friend, we have stayed in touch, and he came to Boone one day and said, and he's from Charlotte, and he walked in my office, and he said, John, you're an achiever. And I thought, do I say thank you? And I said, I didn't say anything. Maybe said, yeah, I am. But I had a whole new awakening there. One of those defining moments. This is a defining moment for sure. That I have an addiction. I have an addiction to accomplishing things that I really don't need to accomplish. I want to accomplish, maybe to even cover up my own lack. But it became an addiction. And I needed to lay hold of the seeds that were in my hand now and what were most important.
Right. I do like the word achiever. That brings new context to a compliment.
It does. And I was, you know, we're talking about cleaning up clutter. Well, one day I decided to take some clutter off my wall. Now, I still have my diploma there. And I have some memorable things hanging there, but I got rid of all my awards that it had through my career. They just weren't important anymore. And it felt better.
Right.
Yeah. It really felt better.
So, John, we talked a lot about the 12 concepts that you learned throughout your career. Is there any one that really kind of stands out in your mind?
You know, I really think be open. And I talked about defining moments. I think that was number six. When a defining moment comes my way, then take it and run with it. Start. It's a perfect time to make an action list. I had the opportunity to interview Steve Ford, and he's President Ford's third son, on one of my podcasts. I had got to know him, a fine man, and it was kind of fun to hang out with a former president's son. That was really cool. But one thing. And Steve had an issue in his life, and he was an alcoholic. And as I say this now, I think he's been sober for 30 years. And he reached that point in his life that he had a defining moment. And when he had that defining moment, the fact that he was an alcoholic, and he started what he called his action list. And saw it through. Now he's 30 years sober. And I think it was really interesting. He said he was dreading talking to his mom and dad about it. And his mom, as you know, was an alcoholic and addicted to painkillers. And that's where the Betty Ford Center developed. And
yep.
Betty Ford talked about it, and she helped a lot of people. And he said the first person he went to was his mother to say, "Mom, I think I'm an alcoholic." And she said, "Oh, my son, this is, you know," and she was real upset. He said, "Mom, give me a break. You're the poster child of such, you know, you need to give me a break." And of course she did. And I think that really impressed me with him wanting to fill his action list. You know, I had a revelation. Now I want an action list. So that is really the most important one to me. I mean, we can have all kinds of ideas going around in our head. Stuff that we know is right. That's beyond right. And we don't do anything about it. It sits on the shelf or in our brain and it gathers dust.
Yeah, and looking back at my notes, you know, when a defining moment comes your way, claim it.
Yeah.
I think that ties very well to all the concepts, because essentially you need to know when it's there, because then it will help promote the catalyst for change.
Yes.
Realize people are watching, and we go down the list, but it all concepts.
Yeah.
So, John, my last question, as we wrap up, how do you apply this? Is it a daily process, a weekly process?
Here's how, you know, it is a daily process. It is a discipline. And that's how I apply it. And I've got something that I planned. It's a form that I use that I developed actually before this, called Quarterly Review. What needs changing this quarter for the better? And how did last quarter go? So, at least four times a year, I have a quarterly review. And I may even talk to friends close to mine, colleagues, to my superiors, you know, what things got to do better. And it may be developed quarterly, but it is a daily thing. Now, I can say, you know, there's some days better than others, but I'm not obsessed with achieving anymore. You know, my bucket list, my bucket list is about filled. I don't want to jump from any airplanes.
Right.
You know, I don't want to go to Niagara Falls. I think I can check off everything on my bucket list. Actually, I did. I did last year. It was in 2020 in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. They have a new sky bridge. It's kind of a swinging bridge, and you have to walk across it. And that was on my bucket list. I am going to cross that thing. Now, I'm not saying I didn't have moments that I thought, why did I do this? But I walked across. I bought a little sign. It's somewhere in my office. Oh, here it is. I crossed the sky bridge. Bought that and came back. And that was, honestly, I finished my bucket list.
Congratulations.
Yeah, sure. You know,
I'm sure these concepts, you can see how a young organization, no matter what the format, can apply.
Yeah, you're right. You're totally right. Hey, thank you for calling me today.
Thank you, John. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me.
It's a pleasure to work with you and be on the same team with you. And, Michael, I may meet you somewhere at a meeting sometime, but thank you for being a part of this team and hope you have a great week.
Thank you, John.
See ya.
You as well.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us today for the patient experience. Please help us out by sharing our show with a healthcare professional in your life or by leaving us a review on iTunes or your preferred podcast platform.